Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. I'm Dan, and today I'm going to be talking about Old Man's Journey. A description for this game is, Old Man's Journey, a soul-searching adventure, tells a story of life, loss, reconciliation, and hope. Entrenched in a beautifully sun-kissed and handcrafted world, embark on a heartfelt journey interwoven with lighthearted and pressure-free puzzle-solving. A visual narrative about life's precious moments, broken dreams, and changed plans. Uncover stories of the old man's life told through beautiful vignettes of his memories. Interacting with the serene and whimsical environment, solve playful puzzles by shaping the landscape, growing the hills to create the old man's path forward. During this compact gameplay experience, you'll be transported to a vibrant and wishful world, exploring life's complexities through the old man's eyes. Meditatively delight and reflective, Old Man's Journey invites you to immerse yourself in a quiet and inquisitive puzzles, experience the old man's heartache, regret, and hope. Alright, a little background on the game itself is this was developed by Broken Rules, whose first game is called And Yet It Moves, which I think may also be their most popular game besides Old Man's Journey. And then their most recent game is called ELO, and I think in total they have about 6 games. I think Steam maybe had 3 of them, so I wonder if some of them are maybe like mobile games only or something. But yeah, so there's certainly a backlog of games that they have. If you want more from them, it's definitely there, and I'd go look for it. And then the other kind of notable background thing is that the music is by Scientific, who also did the music for Oxenfree and After Party. So if you would like, I don't know, if you like the music in this and you'd want more, I highly suggest checking out Oxenfree and After Party. Also, we have a podcast on both of those in our backlog. Oxenfree was actually our first episode, and After Party we did at release time, so I think in November or October of 2019, I think. So, yeah, those are back there if you are interested in that as well. So, as the description said, this game is really kind of a easy, carefree puzzle game of sorts. And with that, the game has maybe 8 levels of different sections of puzzles you do before there's kind of a clear pause point and your level switches. And with this being the case, I'm not gonna, recap each level or go through that. I think, just how to solve puzzles. I just don't think that would be the most interesting use of our podcast time, I guess. So I'm not gonna do that part. I'll probably describe some of them, but I'm not gonna go too deep into that. Also, the game itself takes maybe 1.5 hours. It's pretty short, and I would say go experience it. I'm not someone who even likes puzzles particularly. Like, I would probably choose games to not typically have puzzles, but these were nice. They were easy. To me, it felt similar to Donut County in the sense that they're easy, lighthearted puzzles, which I like. If I'm going to do puzzles, I definitely want them to be in that branch of them. Yeah, I guess just for that to consider, I'm going to be focusing on the story, which is obviously in the game, but it's sort of smaller and not as explicit, because another thing in this game is there's not any dialogue at all. No voice actors, but also no, like, you know, comic book speech bubbles of saying things. There's none of it. Instead, it's solely told through your gameplay actions, through the things you see, things you experience, that sort of thing. So it's pretty different, I would say, in regards to probably almost any of the games we've played. That may be akin to Journey, I guess, or Limbo, maybe, even, like those. It seems like maybe it would sort of fit that kind of spot where there's not as much. But either way, yeah, I'm not going to go too deep into the puzzles. I would say you'd be better off playing it yourself to experience those, or maybe even watching it somewhere. But yeah, that's all I'll say on that. I'll start the recap and say what I will. So, recap itself. The game begins, and the old man receives a letter. The old man lives at his home, right by the sea. He's like up on a hill overlooking like an ocean or a bay or a lake kind of thing. And so he sets out on his journey based on whatever he received in his letter. So the gameplay through this game is walking through these levels and completing various puzzles. So how this gameplay actually plays out is there'll be like a series of hills, and as you navigate the hills, it's a side scroller, so you'll be going right. And what you can do with the hills is alter what they look like. You could make them like go pointing straight up. You could have them go point more up, more like low to high, you know, to the right, different things like that. And when you do this, the kind of catch, so to speak, in the puzzle is that the surface of ground that you're on, you can't change its height or anything like that. It's stable. All the other hills around you, though, you can touch those and move those up and down. So how this can work out is maybe you're on hill one, you angle it up, you jump to hill two, then you move hill one way up, if it can, then you'll go to that one, and that might take you where you need to go. That's sort of the gist of how that looks. As the game goes on, of course, like any puzzle game, the puzzles do get more complex, but even at the end, none of them were too hard. Once I figured out how to play, I didn't have trouble. I think one time in the middle, I did look up a puzzle because I was confused as to what they wanted me to do. But it was pretty minimal. I didn't have much problem with it. And as I say, if I'm not having a lot of problems with the puzzles, you probably won't either, because I'm not very good at them. But the scenery as you go is pretty unique, and is enjoyable to see. There's one where it's like a field of like purple grass and purple flowers, I think, just everywhere. That looked really nice. There's another one where you're like under the sea and you're going with kind of hills under the sea, traveling underwater, it seems. And there's like crashed ships that have sunken down there and stuff like that. So there's definitely some cool sceneries as you go. It looks nice. It's definitely a pretty looking game. And I would say the music certainly complements it well, too. It just kind of all, I don't know, fits pretty well together, I would say. It looks nice and makes for a enjoyable little game. I think that, as I mentioned earlier, with it being, I don't know, an hour and a half, I think this game would be perfect for, like, if you wanted to spend a Saturday afternoon playing a game, I think, and you wanted to be able to finish one, that'd be great. Or if you were traveling and, you know, we're going to be on a plane or something, that'd be good. The way I actually ended up playing it was on my lunch breaks, so I'd play like 20 minutes a day. And so over the course of about a week, I ended up finishing the game because I'd just play a little bit each day on my lunch break and I got through it. So, and that was nice too. That worked out well, I would say. That's sort of how the game looks of doing the levels. Now, at the end of each level, you'll get to a spot where the old man will sit down. He'll find a bench, he'll find a chair, something like that. He'll sit down, and you'll get a memory of his, which I would say is almost like getting like a still photograph that you'll see. And what you see is the old man as a young man. You see him meet a woman and fall in love. At the end of another one of these, you see them get married, having a wedding day. You find out that they have kids, have a kid. There's one where he's at his kid's birthday party, and the party's going on, but then he's looking out the window at the sea. I think there's another one where he's older and he's alone, at the cottage he lived at the start of the game. And he's there, and then there's photos. He's looking at his phone, I think, of photos of his kids, so he's not with them right then. He's away. And so you're seeing this picture that he ultimately chose the sea over his family, that He loved the sea, loved being a sailor, loved that so much that there was a point where he began to choose that over his family. And when we find him at the start of the game, that's kind of the result of where he'd been. That's sort of where he's at. Ultimately, after making it through all your puzzles, you arrive at a village, you go inside of a house, and his wife, or maybe ex-wife, I'm not sure, is there, along with his daughter, who is an adult. I'd assume in her 20s or 30s, something like that. And his wife is in a, it looks like a hospital bed, except, you know, in home care. And she's got, like, the, I think it's the heart monitor, the, like, beep, beep, one of those. She's got that, and you kind of slowly tap through the scene, and you see time sort of fast forward, and you see her laying there, you see it stop beeping, you see the bed be empty, you see the flowers next to the bed slowly die, the old man's still sitting there, you see the old man show his daughter the letter, and she shows him something, I think it was a toy ship, and they hug each other and they cry. We then move to the epilogue, and it's the old man, the daughter, and a grandchild all on a boat together, and they're sailing in the water. And as you sail, the credits begin to roll, and you can sail through continuous on the water, and the credits continue to roll until you get to the end. And that's the game. I guess a couple things. Yeah, I mentioned this in the beginning. The puzzles are easy. This was nice. I really enjoyed that. I think that that's pretty important if I'm going to enjoy a puzzle game. And so that was nice. I enjoyed that. Scientific's music I thought was really great in this. Also, as like a side point that I thought was cool is in Oxenfree and After Party, the music I would say is more spooky or even like ravey, like party, like just some of the bar music and After Party, like different things like that. This instead is really like peaceful and nice and stuff like that. So it's cool seeing kind of this other side of the kind of music he makes in comparison to Oxenfree and After Party, which I enjoy that music too. So that was cool to see. I like that. I feel like with playing three games now that have had Scientific's music, it needs to be in more places. More studios need to hire him to do their soundtracks. He's definitely good at it. So people should hire him for sure. I like his stuff. And I guess the big topic of the game that I think is worth probably spending a bigger portion of our time on is the kind of dilemma for the game is your dreams versus your family. And I think that this is a really good dilemma that this game has put here, because it's again, it's a real life problem that all sorts of people face, right? Everyone faces. Of how do you prioritize your career, if that's what it had to do with for the old man, or his passion, that he just loved the sea, you know? But then also having a family, what does that look like? How do you navigate that? That, of course, is something we all deal with, right? No matter what it is, you can substitute those things for other things, but, you know, and at the end, that's a pretty universal struggle. And I like that I've gotten to play games, I would say especially more recently, where real struggles that we face are part of them. You know, I think through the podcast as it's gone on, we've played a fair share of games that have had real problems. You know, like I think that like A New Life a few weeks ago, real life stuff. Emily Is Away, real life stuff. Even like things in Life is Strange, there's some definitely reality stuff in there. That is good and important. But then, you know, obviously there's been a fair share of like post-apocalyptic games or other stuff like that that aren't in reality at all. And so it's nice kind of getting this other side, because these real life lessons could be really valuable to people. My hope would be is that this sort of dilemma that the player, of course, experiences this too, that they see that this is the dilemma the old man went to, and it kind of causes self-reflection. And I assume that's what the creators wanted when they made the game. So I thought that was really good. It reminded me of this theory that I heard from David Sedaris, and I think it was in one of his books. I'm inclined to think it was in Let's Explore Diabetes with Owls. I'm not 100% on that. It does sound like maybe this was adapted too from a New York Times article of his, but either way, David Sedaris talks about what he calls the four burners theory. So the idea is, imagine that your life is represented by a stove with four burners. And each burner symbolizes one major part of your life. The first burner represents your family. The second burner represents your friends. The third burner is your health. The fourth burner is your work. The four burners theory says, in order to be successful, you have to turn off one of those burners. And in order to be very successful, you need to turn off two of those burners. So what burners would you turn off? How important is being successful? And I think it's a good mental exercise, you know. It's not like this is a perfect thing or anything like that, but I think it's a good mental exercise. So if you were to examine the old man, it would seem that he placed his passions first, which I think you could put passions under work. I think work can really probably be whatever you want it to be, right? It could be your job, but I think it could be somewhere else you devote your passions. But I guess it primarily probably is your job. But I don't know. If you're examining the old man, it seems that he at least turned the family burner off, if not maybe other ones. He prioritized his work. He prioritized his passion. He prioritized the sea, that kind of thing. But it's an interesting thought. What is being successful anyway? What do you want there? I guess how I would kind of view this, or my argument for it, would be is success is what you would choose to make it, right? So I imagine that the, typical line that people run into is that being successful is having like a certain title at your job or making a certain amount of money. And if that's what you want success to be, I guess that's fine. And we see that a lot in media of, you know, the people who turned their family off and they worked really hard to be successful. And it was like their realization is, you know, I worked really hard for my family, but in the end I lost them, kind of thing, because I was so devoted to quote unquote providing for them that we stopped being involved with each other. I feel like you see that a lot in media for sure. It makes sense. It's good. It's a good warning. It's probably why it seldom comes. But you could have the other version, I think, too. It's like, well, I'm not going to prioritize these other things, and that's fine. I guess just ultimately is that it's a good thought exercise. I don't know if you can go full on in 100% into all of these things. I imagine as we all try to figure our schedules out for our life and like, okay, when do I fit in time to go work out or, you know, get on a healthy eating plan so that I'm not eating garbage all the time, or, you know, working hard so that I can get promoted, or spending time with my friends enough that I'm seeing them regularly, or getting time with my family, or, you know, whatever those things are. I think that's a tension we obviously all face. And so I thought this game brought it up and in turn reminded me of that David Sedaris theory. So I hope that was interesting for you. But Yeah, I think it's a good exercise. I thought it was helpful. When I first heard it, it was good for me to kind of think through in my head and be like, what burners do I have turned on? Or do I not care about being successful and I'll just keep them all on? You know, I guess that's theoretically an option from that too. I guess, depending on how they define success. But yeah, interesting nonetheless. So to wrap up, we've got a little bit of listener feedback though. So we'll do that. First up, we've got Nikki on Twitter who says, "This is an amazing little puzzle game with a surprisingly deep story. A sailor's love for the sea versus the love of family. Super emotional journey through memories. The scenery is super pretty and the music is very, very good." Yeah. Great stuff from Nikki there. I think, yeah, as just mentioned, that sailor's love of the sea versus love of a family. That those came into conflict and he made a choice. And I think for him, experienced the bitterness of his choice that I shouldn't have went all in on the sea. But then the reconciliation with the family he did have left and how that could be a part of the sea, but not the only thing. That he maybe could have figured out a way to do both, but he, as a younger person, was longing too much for the sea. That would be kind of my interpretation. But yeah, beautiful game, great music, spot on. Adam on Twitter says, "Absolutely outstanding storytelling without using dialogue or proper cutscenes, just drawn out photos and context clue." Yep, great, good point there from Adam. Yeah, it is really cool just seeing that this game told a story in a pretty unique way. They didn't use words, they didn't use cutscenes, they didn't use dialogue, voice actors or written. But they still told a story. We still know what happened. We, you know, all of us who played this game were like, okay, this is kind of how it went for this old man. That we could string that together. That's pretty cool and impressive they could pull that off. Next up, we've got Blaze Knight on Twitter who says, "I really enjoyed the simple art style, puzzle mechanics, and the way the story unfolds. Fun and easy to play. Bit of a sad tale, but it's a good life lesson to be sure. I particularly enjoyed the aspects of moving between the foreground and background to get where you are going." Yeah, this is great. Good point, for sure. I like the moving from the background to the foreground, too. I thought that was pretty interesting. Just how it played with lines, I guess. Really, it was pretty interesting to kind of do that and have my mind think in a way like that. I was, okay, I'm going to go here, which will help me do this to be able to go there. And just kind of train my mind to think like that. I thought that was a pretty cool thing. And last up, I've got Jacob on Twitter, who says, "I played for about 30 minutes, but I couldn't get into it. I was playing on Xbox One, and I thought maybe I should have jumped in on a device with a touchscreen for optimal play. Maybe I should give it a shot on iPad?" Yeah, that's a good point. I actually played on my phone, so I did get to experience this via touchscreen. And that probably did help out. I hadn't considered what it would be like on a traditional console, which is interesting. I did look, and it looks like this first light came out on phones and on PC, and then later Switch, and then PS4, and then Xbox. So I am a little surprised that it got put on consoles, because I imagine that navigating moving the hills up and down is maybe not as good on console. At least in Jacob's experience, it doesn't seem like it was that great. So, yeah, I guess if you made it to this part and you haven't played, I would maybe consider getting it on your phone or something else that's touchscreen. Yeah, I would consider that or look into maybe other people's reviews who played it on traditional consoles. I don't know if what that trouble would be like or not, but hearing this, I'm definitely glad I played it with touchscreen, because it does seem like it would be kind of weird without one. All right, well, that is what I've got on Old Man's Journey. I guess coming up too, I think this is episode 98 of ours. So in a few weeks, we're going to be doing episode 100, which is going to be our special Ask Us Anything episode. I've made a couple different posts on Twitter about questions you might want to ask, video games or otherwise, all open, all good. So we thought that could be kind of a fun way to kind of celebrate making it to 100 episodes and, I don't know, get to just do something a little bit different. So, yeah, hit us up there if you'd like to. And I guess just general contact info, you can reach us on Twitter at StoryEverPod. Our website is thegreateststoryeverplayed.com, which has our full backlog of episodes, among other things. If you would like to rate and review us on Podchaser or Apple Podcast or wherever, that would really mean a lot and really help out just getting us in front of other people who like the video games that you and I like, that we can share together. That would be really cool to just, continue to grow the community and share more together in games. That would be awesome. If you'd like to financially support the podcast, you can do that at patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed. And there you can give as little as $1 per month, and that will give you access to our backlog, give you access to our bonus episodes that we do on Patreon only that are topical in nature. So doing things like our favorite games from childhood or ranking the episodes of Life is Strange. So that's kind of what that looks like. And I guess that's our episode. And see you next time.